Testing, testing, uno, dos, tres, catorce.
He's the go-to guru for great design ideas.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
He's edgy. He's in your face.
The lead designer and host of HGTV's Design on a Dime.
We're talking about a totally outrageous paradigm.
Putting the improv in home improvement. It's time for Let's Be Frank with Frank Fontana.
Good morning, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this fine Saturday morning. What is today's date, Steve Bertrand?
It is the 12th.
The 12th. I don't even know what day it is. That's my life right now.
It's July.
Is it? I thought it was June 12th.
No,
still.
July.
That 4th of July thing happened last week. That was nice. You know, I did a little... Steve, how many kids you got?
I have two.
So I did, last night, me and my wife decided to do this staycation.
Yeah. Just one night?
One night.
Yeah.
I can't take another night.
Right.
You would think a staycation would be a fun thing. You know, you typically, you know, take the family down and, you know, we don't live too far. We live in LaGrange. So,
right.
You know, it was just a mini thing. And we stayed at the Intercontinental, beautiful hotel next door. We enjoyed the pool and all that. But I came to the realization that I don't know if having a four-month-old and a three-year-old is a good idea to do the staycation. It just didn't really fly the way. It was kind of an epic fail.
Yeah, it was kind of claustrophobic in the room, was it?
Claustrophobic. Yeah, my son's like, I want to go home.
Oh, that's too bad.
My daughter didn't want to nap, so it ended up being a big... Yeah. Which, even I'll tell you, there was good moments. I'll say that. You know, I tried. We tried to do it. But let me ask you, in your opinion, is there a certain time you shouldn't take vacations with a newborn and all that? I mean, should you wait a while?
Well, a four-month-old?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're not going to get a vacation with a four-month-old.
Yeah, so it was just a dream.
It was kind of a dream, yeah.
Yeah.
Nightmare, maybe.
We tried.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't really work too well, but we tried.
Now you know.
Now we know. Anyway, all right. Well, we have a great show lined up today. I am a little tired because the baby didn't sleep all night either, all day and all night. My wife is even more tired, but I made it here. I crawled one block from the Intercontinental.
Did you pull that, oh, honey, I've got to work tomorrow?
I tried, but the baby's sleeping in the middle of us. So there wasn't really much pulling anything. It was pulling myself out of bed is what I did. By the way, the news was sponsored by Gilkey Windows, Steve, just so you know. But yeah, let's change focus here. I have enough caffeine to maybe get me through the first commercial break, and then I got to drink some more. We're talking about our quarterly floor trends update. That's right. This is where we kind of focus in and see what's happening in the world of flooring because we walk on them every day. There's new trends that happen all the time. I'm constantly researching this product and meeting new people who are experts in the field, like this guy, John Marjorie, who's a great guy, owns Vortex Flooring, does phenomenal work. He does tremendous buildings here in downtown. He does residential, commercial, you name it, he does it. And he knows, he's got his finger on the pulse of what's going on in the world of flooring. So I'm excited about that. He's got some new things he's going to be talking about. And then we'll be opening phone lines for you guys to answer any and all questions regarding new floors, installation issues. He has a company that does all the installation as well. That number, you know, is 312-981-7200. And you can also text on that line now, too. We got fancy here. We integrated everything. So it's like a cell phone. You call it and you text to it. And get those in now so we can accumulate the questions for John, and then we'll just kind of rapid fire, let him answer all these questions. Hopefully, well, not hopefully, John is great. He'll answer everything for us. And then, you ever been in a situation where you're camping in the woods? You go camping, Steve, at all?
Oh, not in a long time, no. That's one of the things I learned.
Back in 1962, when I went camping... You couldn't light a fire, right? That was one of your issues. You were trying. You had the two sticks rubbing together.
Yeah.
And you took a stone and you tried to light it and spark it. That doesn't work anymore. Well, I found something Caitlin actually found something that's fantastic. It's called Dragon in a Box. You ever hear of it?
No.
It's magic. Like, seriously magic.
It starts fires?
Yeah. I mean, you just blew it all, Steve. That was my big moment.
Well, you're talking about campfires, and it's called Dragon in a Box.
Did I give it away already? I mean, I just thought it would be a little exciting to tease it. But
I'm sorry.
The way it works, though, is interesting, and the fact that it looks like a lip balm box, like a little case that you have like a lip balm in, it makes it really marketable and exciting, and I think it could be used for a lot of different applications. Like, as a quasi-pyromaniac myself, I could see this being a fun little thing to just keep in your pocket. Right, Caitlin? And like, you toss a little on the floor, you toss a match on it, it's like, poof.
Yeah. I mean, you can use it for bonfires. You can leave it in your car if you need to make a road flare of some sort.
Or burn your car for insurance reasons.
Or if you go camping, too. I mean, trying to find kindling when you're camping is what makes camping horrible.
And what attracted you to this product?
I like camping a lot, actually. Right.
Have you actually used this in the field?
I haven't gone camping yet, but I did get a little sample, and I tried it at home. And we have like a, not a pit, but we have like a fire thing outside.
Yeah.
And instead of having to use like gasoline or anything, you just put that you light it, and it goes.
Interesting. So we're going to be talking to the founders of the Dragon in a Box and how they created this amazing little thing. I just like it from a business standpoint, how cool it is to kind of create that idea, to stumble on something, take it to market, and then all of a sudden it's huge. So that's cool. That's called Dragon in a Box. That's all happening after the first break. John will be on with us for the second half of the show. By the way, my blinds collection with Eddie Z's is killing it. It's doing great. We just released a new line of natural wood shades, which wood shades are coming back. Steve, you have wood shades in your house?
I do, actually, yeah.
So you're already in. See, your whole cycle happened. You probably put them in when?
They've been there since the 50s, so.
Boom. There you go. See, that's if you keep clothes long enough, it all comes back.
That's
same
right.
thing with blinds. So wood blinds are natural woven wood blinds are coming back in a big way, and I just released a whole bunch. Go check that out on my website, frankfontana.net. And real quick, I've been always talking about this fuel stuff, this 4U fuel that keeps me going in the morning. Well, I got a page together. It's it's frankfontana.4u.com. It goes there and explains it all, and also some other products that I use. Go check it out. That's frankfontana.4u.com.
Brown paper packages tied up with strings.
These are a few of my favorite things. That's right. Welcome back to the show. I'm Frank Fontana. It's time for Frank's Faves. This is where I focus on some of my favorite products or ones that Caitlin finds and stumbles onto and says, hey, Frank, we should talk about this on Frank's Fave because it's fantastic. See how many Fs I threw in there? It's pretty fantastic. All right, so we're talking about this product, Dragon in a Box. And we have Jeff Murphy, who's the CEO of the company, Buhines? How do you say that, Caitlin?
Buhines.
There you go. I never say anything right. I usually have a tequila game that I play where I mispronounce people's names and you drink tequila, but I think it's a little early. But hey, Jeff, I'm really curious about the story of Dragon in a Box. First of all, how are you? Good morning, and thanks for calling in so early.
Oh, yeah. Well, thanks, Frank. I appreciate being here. The company was, we're a startup company, but it was my father-in-law that came up with the product. He was an inventor, and during the 60s used to design toys and stuff, so he was always tinkering. And about 30 years ago, he came up with this way of starting campfires because his family would go camping. And he had the product kind of kicking around, always wanted to launch it. And just recently, he hooked up with a business partner named John Hines, and the two of them, my father-in-law Bill and John Hines, decided to launch the product and asked me to come on board to kind of help market it and get it out there.
Now, was it one of those things that he kept secret, like a family recipe? Did he share it with anybody before this business venture?
Well, I've been using it for 30 years.
And is it something so common you would be like, duh, or is it really something he concocted?
You know, it's a little of both. I mean, it is such a simple thing, but if you've ever tried to light a fire, it's, you know, you've had frustration because there's times where, you're down there on your hands and knees blowing on it and trying to get sticks or grass or newspapers or whatever, trying to get the fire going. And he tinkered with it. I mean, he's had several different versions of it, connotations of it, and with different elements. But he finally hit on a simple, reproducible formula for getting it out there. And it is very basic. I mean, it's pretty simple, but it's one of those things where, everybody – could make bread too, but because of the ease and convenience, people would much rather, just go to the store and buy it rather than take the time to put it together themselves.
And, you know, so for a guy like me who likes to douse a flame with tons of fluid, this is a more eco-friendly version of getting a fire started, right?
Yes, it's 100% green. It's natural. There's no chemicals. There's no plastics or metals involved. We wanted to keep it as green as possible. We use the least amount of ink on the actual product so that when you burn it, the whole thing burns. And the product itself is comes as an individual starter that you can use for starting firewood or backyard fire pits without kindling. You just open the box and you light one of the little chips inside, and then the thing will burn for 15 to 20 minutes. But you can also take a few of the chips out and stick them under your charcoal and not use the fluid, so you don't get that taste of, you know, chemicals, and it's better for the environment and all that as well.
Wait, so you could use this for a barbecue too?
Yes, you can put it underneath the charcoal, lights the charcoal, and it's much safer too.
Yeah, that's actually for me a more realistic application, because I'm not a big camper, but I can imagine for campers who, you know, go in the woods and light fires and stuff like that, or a bonfire, this would be a great addition. I just opened it up and it looks like little pieces of beef jerky, and I was expecting something else. I don't know why, but it's kind of cool looking, and there are these like chips that you flick into the fire. Do you need all the entire? So this one that I'm holding, is it a sample? It's a smaller, like I said, it looks like a lip balm case. Is this the starter kit for it?
You know, there's a smaller version called the Pocket Dragon. And what that is it's a little waterproof container that kayakers, survivalists, naturalists, hikers that go out in the woods and kind of like to rough it, they can take that and it burns for 5 to 7 minutes. It's just a few of the chips. It's not a full, you know, 15 to 20 minute burn. It'll burn for 5 to 7 minutes. So if you're out there kind of roughing it, starting a fire, instead of having dead grass and leaves that will burn for, you know, 15 to 20 seconds, this will burn for 5 minutes and give you a chance to really kind of get the fire going. And it's refillable. You just take a few more chips from one of the regular starters and put them in there, and you can take it with you, the little container.
Well, the little container on the cover says emergency heat. So if we were driving down the highway and it was below zero and we run out of gas, but we have a whole bunch of Dragon in a box, we could potentially survive for days.
You know, years ago, my sister-in-law was snowmobiling and had one of these, you know, in the little carry-out compartment on the snowmobile. Snowmobile broke down in the middle of nowhere. She's by herself. She lit this thing, and not only does she credit it with, you know, keeping her warm, but because it burns long enough with a big enough flame, people were able to find her because it was dark out. And, you know, if you had them in your car, same kind of situation. You could use it if you got stranded. You could use it to – it doesn't flare up when you light it like a road flare would. It's just a slow, consistent burn. But it does get hot enough so that, you know, you can use it to as emergency heat.
And it's hot, and the flame, you said, doesn't get high, but does it get high enough that if you need it to be recognized or found, like a flare, it would work the same way?
The flame will get to be about a foot high.
Oh, wow.
Like the, yeah.
And, just off and these little chips?
Yes.
Crazy. What's in it? Yeah. Or is that proprietary?
It is proprietary, yeah. Thanks for asking.
Yeah, I mean, I could try. I mean, like... So I would imagine there's got to be, can I guess a little bit? Is there a component of alcohol in here at all? Or?
No.
Wow.
It's there's no alcohol in it, but and like I said, when you light it, it lights like a candle. It doesn't flare up like a sparkler where you have that initial combustion. It's very simple to light. It's very clean. You can handle it. And there was recently we've had a demonstration where one of your cohorts, Lou Manfredini, put one in his mouth and chewed it to prove how clean and said it tasted terrible.
Wait, so Lou put this in his mouth? Because I got to tell you, I look like beef jerky, and I was tempted to put one in my mouth for real. and so Lou actually did it. Did he? Anything happen to him?
No, as far as I know, I think his hair might have grown a little bit more, but I mean, I think he's fine.
Steve, were you here when Lou put this in his mouth?
No, I missed that.
Oh, things we miss. Lou, crazy. Okay, so it's edible. And I don't recommend we eat it, though. But you're proving that it's actually very eco-friendly and safe. God forbid it got into the hands of a child, which is a good thing. Where is this? Like, what is the story here of how you got started? Was it like a Shark Tank type of thing where you kind of got it out there and people started seeing this and wanted to invest, or is it all kind of a family-grown business?
It's very much a family-grown business. Like I said, my father-in-law was the inventor of it, and my brother-in-law is the director of marketing. And then Bill, my father-in-law, Bill Bew, he hooked up with his a business partner, John Hines, and between the two of them, they launched it. We talked about, you know, maybe getting some investors involved to make it happen a little quicker, but you give so much away when you do something like that.
So you wouldn't be interested in going in front of the Shark Tank guys and making it?
You know what? You know, because we're a startup and we're doing it very slow, you know, they would do things like, oh, you should bring this in from China. And, you know, right. Our whole approach is, no, we want to employ people here in America. This is American-made. It's the design of it is the actual cup that you have that burns, we call them a cup. It's because it's a loose pack, you know, like some of the fire starters that are on the market are very densely compressed and it's glued together and it's heavy and it's hard to light. This is a loose pack, and there's an aeration hole on it that'll kind of create this chimney-like effect, which is why the flame gets so high, and it burns so long and so efficiently. The whole thing burns. There's nothing left.
That's crazy. I mean, what a great idea. I love hearing stories like this and promoting companies that are innovative. It's family-oriented and made here in the USA. It's good stuff. Jeff, thank you so much for calling in, and great luck with it all. It's Dragon in the Box. Where's the website? Where can people find more information about this?
DragonInABox.com.
Pretty simple, DragonInABox.com. All right, Jeff, have a great weekend.
Thank you. You too, Frank.
All right, folks, we have more after the news. We're going to be talking to John Margieri about all of your flooring needs and what are the hottest trends in flooring. Good morning. We're back. We're supposed to have this rock and roll intro coming in, but our computer froze down here, Steve. Did you press a button up there?
No. Why don't you have Caitlin sing, maybe?
Yeah, Kate, come on. Give us a little boobity bop boo boo coming in.
You're doing a fine job.
Oh, thanks. All right. Anyway, welcome back to the show. I'm Frank Fontana. It's time for our quarterly flooring report. That's where Caitlin would play the news little thing. Yeah, that's good enough. Better late than never. Yeah, dreaming of flooring is what we're talking about. And we have in studio the flooring expert, John. Say it, John, because I'm going to screw it up. John Margieri is in studio with us. He's taken time out of his busy schedule. By the way, a little correction. The company is Paniagua Group, right? Did I say that
correct? That's correct.
Yeah, I'm trying, you know. It's that's early. Okay. No sleep.
It's not an easy name.
It is not an easy name. But the company is easy to work with. I will say that. Great guys. They do phenomenal work. John, why don't you give us a little history on the company?
The company is a... been around for about 15 years, primarily it's an MBE company, and we do
which for the layman means what?
It's a minority business enterprise.
Okay.
And we do a lot of different types of work for all types of people.
Now, how did you get the name?
It's my partner's last name.
Your partner? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's easy
is
enough.
El Paniagua. Yes.
Yeah. Because you before the show we were talking about how to pronounce it correctly, and you're like, think Spanish for pani, which means bread, and agua means water. And
it's easily done.
Easily done. I thought it had something to do with bread and water, but apparently I'm wrong. So you guys do everything from commercial to residential.
Absolutely.
And yes. Did you start literally on your hands and knees installing floors yourself?
I did as a young teenager, 17. I'm third generation in the flooring business.
Wow.
As far as installations go.
Wow.
So that's been my background. 25 years, primarily service.
So what kind of floors do you have in your house? Because I always have to ask this question with people.
I have primarily wood. Lower half is slate.
Existing, or did you rip up and...
I ripped up and replaced.
You did?
Yeah.
You have to. I mean,
yeah, you do.
It's like, why
working
not?
Working at a house now, it's kind of an older home.
Let's talk about that for a second, because I got the older home, as fans and friends of the show know, the Project Home series here. You also have the home, too, which is your project home.
Yes.
Tell me about it.
It's an old farmhouse, sitting on about 3 acres, and needs a lot of love.
Yeah. Why? I mean, your business is successful. You could have afforded a new home. Why did you choose an old home?
I've always been a tradesman, so I enjoy the physical work.
Yeah.
And I like the challenge.
Hey, do you want to smack yourself now for that decision?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Me too, because yes. I said the same thing. I'm a guy who can handle this. This is my work. I love design. I could take this on as a project home. I did. And then you realize 6 months later, like, oh my God.
What did I get myself into?
It never ends.
It doesn't. Every time I turn around, there's something to do.
What is your latest adventure? What are you working on right now?
I'm working on a deck on the second story, which unfortunately I fell through.
Oh.
The other night.
Nice. You okay?
I'm okay. A little beat up, bruised up, but...
What prompted the fall, did you?
4 baby raccoons.
What?
Where I live, it's basically like a wooded area.
Yeah.
And we have a major raccoon problem. And... we've got 4 of them that were up in the attic.
So they took residence in your home.
Yes.
Did you know they were there?
We did originally, and we had to wait because the babies that were there just weren't able to get down, and we didn't want to leave them up there. And
you didn't want
to
just...
issue. So we waited until they were able to get out on their own and kind of scoot them away.
That's nice of you that you didn't take aggressive action.
I didn't.
Yeah.
I didn't.
Did you hear rustling around in your attic and stuff? Were you
yes,
like,
constantly. Yeah. Constantly.
That's spooky.
Very, very irritating.
Did you get attacked?
I did not, but I was kind of chasing it off the deck at about 10 p.m. at night, and due to my procrastination of not screwing down a section of boards, unfortunately, by scooting them away, I fell through.
Into the bottom level?
Onto the bottom level.
Was anybody filming this? Because you could have like had a gazillion YouTube hits.
My wife actually wishes she was, because she, after the fact, and I was okay and everything. She
I don't mean to
comical.
Laugh, but
it
I
was
mean,
comical.
It's comical. It sounds was. Like a skit from a show or something.
My wife says, first you were there, and boom, you were gone.
She was watching you running?
She had a flashlight kind of giving me some light because it was very dark. So,
did she laugh at first? Or she
at
was
first, she was very nervous scared, and scared, right. And she ran down, and I was kind of in a daze.
Did you hear? Did you yell up? Were you like, I'm okay?
You know what? I kind of walked around the back because I was in a fog because I did see stars.
Oh, I'm sure. Did you land on your
I landed,
butt? Or?
I landed on my back.
You okay?
I am okay. I'm okay. It was a little nerve-wracking, though.
Those darn raccoons, huh?
They are a fun...
fun bunch.
Fun bunch of people.
So, did you end up screwing the deck down after that?
Unfortunately, due to my stiffness, that was our plan to do this weekend. So.
Oh, man. And with all the guys you got working for you, I would imagine you'd call one of the guys.
I could. I could.
Yeah, but no, you won't.
No, it's just been my son and I helping out. So.
That's great. How old is your son?
20.
Good for him. He's a good working age.
He's right in. He's.
Why wasn't he up there getting the raccoons out?
I have no idea. Good question. Maybe we should call him.
He's punished. I just for you falling through, I'd ground him for a day.
Yeah.
Deserves
a little bit
that.
Old, but yeah. We could try.
We could try at least. All right, so let's talk about your company, Panagua Group. Where did you originally come up with the notion that, like, this is what I want to do? Like, I want to help people resolve their flooring issues, because we do a lot of segments on flooring, and reason being is we get a lot of calls for it. I get emails all the time, Frank, hey, help me pick this out. What are the hottest trends? What can we avoid in terms of installation issues and stuff like that? So as a matter of fact, on that note, folks, if you have any questions for John, if you're considering some new floors, having issues with your existing floors, this is the time to call in 312-981-7200. You have John and myself here to help answer some questions. We'll be taking it through the break, and we'll be answering questions through the rest of the show. So real quickly, before we have to take a break, tell me about that.
Well, as far as the installation business, I got in right out of high school. My father, you know, was an installer for 40 years.
Yeah.
So it was automatic. My father, brothers, cousins, uncles were a very large family.
Yeah.
And many of us are actually in the flooring trade with different companies. But it started from there, and I started out as an installer and just progressed. And
any preference in terms of what you like to install?
I prefer carpet. Has always been my background.
Really?
Pattern carpets, all different types of styles and patterns.
So not your usual just install carpet
No, more of the higher end products.
Yeah.
More of the pattern type products. Carpet tiles, which are a phenomenal product today.
Yeah, I want to talk about that more after the break, the carpet
great.
Tiles, because it seems to be really hot right
really,
now.
Really, really hot.
As a matter of fact, we got a call coming in real quick. Let's grab this, then we got to take a break. Hey, John, how are you? Thanks for calling in. You got Frank and John on the phone. What's your flooring issue? Hey, John. You there, John?
Yes. I'm thinking about redoing my basement, and I was wondering... I was thinking between carpet tiles and vinyl plank, which should I go with?
Well, the question is this an older home? Do you have water issues?
Right. Let's talk about what's going on with your plumbing first.
Yeah.
No, it's a dry basement. dry basement.
I'll be honest with you, John. With all the flooring products out there, I am a big fan of vinyl, either tile or plank. There's many nice designs that are, you know, square patterns that replicate stone, concrete looks, granite.
Do you prefer a brand? I mean, should John look for a specific brand?
You know, there's many different brands out there. And in our commercial world, we see products that are more of the higher end, not really low end products, but very, very nice patterns. And Amtico, Centiva, Ozo Grip, there's different products out there. And now the vinyls are becoming more thicker as well and much more comfortable.
That's great. Hey, John, are you looking to install yourself or are you looking to find a company to do that?
I'd probably look for a company, yeah.
All right, cool. What we'll do is we'll hook you up with John's company here, Paniagua Group. We'll have Caitlin give you the info. If you're interested, they can, you know, get out there and give you guys a...
I'd love to help you out, John. That'd be great.
I'll give you a quote and see what's happening and bring some samples out there for you to take a look at.
Beautiful.
Awesome. So just hang on, and Caitlin will take you. All right, Robert is on the line holding for us, but I think, Caitlin, we got to take a break, right? All right, we're going to take a quick break. Rob, don't go anywhere, all right? We're going to grab you as soon as we come back. Welcome back to the show on this sunny Saturday morning. Not so much. Looks like it might be a cloudy Saturday morning. Maybe it'll clear up. But the sun is shining in our studio. We have John Maggiore. Well, in Italian, we were just talking about this. In Italian, we'd say Maggiore, but you pronounce it a little different, right?
Yes.
Why? Are you like one of those fancy name guys?
You know, growing up in life, people just couldn't pronounce the name,
right.
So you kind of just made it as easy for people as possible.
So you say Maggiore, right?
I say Maggiore.
Maggiore. Yeah, right. I don't know why I can't get it right.
As I said, my daughter's in the military. They call her Maggiore.
Maggiore. Anyway, either way.
Anyway, you call me
John's here. Call him Johnny Boy.
That's it.
All right, we're answering your flooring questions. We're talking about new hot trends. We got to get right to the phone lines because they are lighting up. Give us a call, folks, 312-981-7200. If you have questions about flooring, if you're making some decisions, you don't know where to go, basements, main floors, upstairs, we got it all covered. Let's get to Robert, who's been holding. Thanks, Robert. You're on with Frank and John. What's going on, pal?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
I'm in LaGrange as well. It's built in 1890. And it's my front porch. Now, the front porch is about, and again, I do handyman service.
Okay.
So the front porch is about 12 feet by about 9 feet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Two columns on either side.
Is it covered? Right?
Is it enclosed?
Covered front porch. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's like a very small entranceway.
Okay.
All right. My problem is that I don't want to jack it up, because if I jack it up, and then, you know, remove the columns, now I'm going to get into thousands and thousands of dollars because of what I'm afraid I'm going to find.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to, you know, get around certain things. Now, the decking is 3/4 inch plywood.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So whoever owned it before, just, they were cheap. The only way I can say it. Now, there is rotting around the columns, maybe going out 2 inches all the way around each column. Okay. So I'm wondering, can I just cut out the rot and go over the top of it?
John, what do you think?
On the floor portion, yes, but hopefully the columns aren't rotting, because if those
columns... No, the columns are fine.
Okay.
Columns are perfectly fine. Actually, they're old. The inside of the columns are concrete.
Okay.
Okay, so and they wrapped them with wood. So the columns are beautiful, and structurally it's sound. It's just that I'm afraid if I, you know, then I'm going to get into jacking up the porch, if I jack up the, you know what I'm talking about? Once you start jacking things up, then because the house is old, things can crack on the inside, like plaster.
Providing that there's not a lot of rotting, you know, inward towards the room, you can cut that out and reinforce it with some new, but you got to make sure that you have something to reinforce it to.
Right. Are there some joists underneath
there?
Exactly, yeah. You know, do you see any beams going across under the floor?
No, you know, there's no way to get underneath there right now.
You said you're a handyman, right, Mike?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry, Rob. Maybe drop your circular in at a certain depth, set the depth on the circular saw, maybe like not even a 1/4 inch. And just try to get down and skin it a little bit, see what's underneath there. And that way you could kind of get a gauge. I can tell you this. I live in the Grange as well. I have one of those porches. It was completely crooked by 4 inches in one corner. It was sinking, so I know I feel your pain. Mm-hmm. We did some really creative carpentry. We secured it without jacking it up. We actually secured it by putting in some cement, you know, 48-inch pylons underneath, and threw in some 4-inch, you know, studs to keep it from going anywhere else. We didn't jack it up. We just kept it where it's at and sturdied it. Then from the So from the top part, we actually then leveled it using, you know, some scaled, you know, 2x4s that we sliced down to get the right height, and then just put another subfloor over that. So I don't know if that's something you're thinking about.
Exactly. That is exactly. I'm sorry. I'm running around in the rain.
No worries.
But, you know, you can't cut that out. And if it's all wood substrate, you should be able to get something underneath there, you know, that you can screw in to refasten, you know, some type of plywood or something that's going to take that rotting away. So,
and as far as flooring choice for something on a porch, John, what would be your suggestion for an outdoor?
Well, it really depends on the design, really.
Is it covered complete, like there's a screened in?
No. We're talking. This is
an exposed porch.
Stairs, 8-foot stairs that have to be ripped out, and then it's a very small, you know, covered porch before you go into the main door.
Gotcha.
I always like to have something in a front vestibule that's going to be somewhat slip resistant,
durable,
just so that, you know, and something that's water friendly. You know?
What would be your top choice for something like that?
Me personally, I'm into vinyl flooring, and you know, if you use the proper adhesives, they're going to last. Or you know, you can go within a carpet tile that's abrasive.
John, why don't you give out your number so that way
that'd be great.
Rob can give you a call.
You know, Rob, call me on my cell phone. I prefer that. I'm a very busy person on a cell phone, but I definitely will get back to you. 815-557-4722 is my cell phone number.
Rob, hope that helps out. And to a fellow LaGranger, good luck with that. I know exactly what you're talking about with these crooked homes. We call it the LaGrange tilt.
It is amazing what goes on in LaGrange.
It's a beautiful neighborhood.
You guys are angels. Appreciate it.
Thanks, pal. All right. We got one more call to take. We're going to speak to Mike. Mike, how are you, pal?
Just fine. How are you, sir?
We're doing great. What's your flooring issue? You're on with Frank and John.
Okay. What I have is a cabin up in northern Wisconsin. I'm doing some research, but I'm getting real confused on the vinyl planking, those ones that stick together, the snapping clicks.
Yeah.
So the research I'm doing is those stick ones together, where they glue together. Mm-hmm. I don't use my cabin in the winter, so the issue is I have no heat up there.
Right.
I shut it down. Now what I'm finding out is they say don't use it in that type of situation because they'll curl and lift.
Yeah, they will. You know, that product's designed to be a floating floor to go over other floors. You know, so you can avoid the removal of an existing floor.
Well, I'm actually on a slab up there.
Though that particular product that you're talking about is more of a floating floor. If you're on a slab there and you like vinyl plank, which it's a huge, huge product today, it's going in everywhere. I would find a product that you can glue down directly. It's very hard to repair that type of floor because if you get, you know, some type of a gouge or something, it's just hard to repair those types of flooring, those products. So I would go with something that's something sound that you can glue down directly to the concrete.
Do you like Armstrong products?
I do.
For the flooring?
I do, yes.
Okay.
Now, what about those snap and click vinyl planking?
You know, again, it's a floating floor. Personally, if you don't mind some sound issues, because it does kind of have a clatter sound.
So even like something like a whisper pad?
You know, not underneath a vinyl floor, no.
Oh, really?
They say you can just, you know, it's just to be put right over. You just click together and it's, you know, directly over the floor. So.
Well, we don't mind the clicking because my wife's in the area rugs anyway.
Right. There you go.
Yeah. But well, you know, the weight helps out when you put all your furniture in and stuff. It does help out. So, again, the click floors, they're just more difficult to repair.
Right.
You know, that's the hard part. So if you get water or you get some type of repair that's needed, you know, it's just a little bit more of a challenge to repair that, you know.
All right.
Hopefully I'll be retired and living up there during the summer. So I'll have all kinds of time.
God bless you.
Yeah, that would be awesome, Mike. Thanks for calling. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I want to thank John Margieri, for coming on the show. John, how can people get a hold of you if they have some flooring issues they want to solve?
Don't hesitate to call my cell phone, 815-557-4722.
And that's the Ponte Agua Group. Thanks so much, John.
Thank you.